Every single time that I sat down to be with the Lord this week, this month, or honestly the last year, I felt rushed and hurried and overwhelmed. But every single morning, and actually the night before, I really prepped for my time with Jesus. I set my alarm 30 minutes early because I knew that I wanted to spend time with the Lord before I left. But the morning comes and I hit snooze 5 times, right? So I feel anxious as I get ready, trying to pick out my outfit, figure out what I'm doing, that finally when I sit down to be with the Lord, I obviously put on the Netflix fire because I've got to set the mood. But I set the fire and I make a really good cup of coffee and I sit down to be with the Lord. And it's almost like immediately when I sit down to be with Jesus and I open up my Bible, 1 million thoughts flood my mind. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, I'm like, oh man, I need to text that person back. I need to reply to that email. I need to make sure that I set up a date to hang out with that friend. I haven't talked to her in forever. And then I start thinking about the list of things that I have to do at work. And I need to go to the grocery store. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to be with Jesus, but my mind just feels full of noise and I can't silence it. And so I open up to the scriptures and I don't know where to start, and so I just open and I read a psalm, but it doesn't really sink in because I feel rushed already, and my chest starts to tighten, and then I look at the clock, and I'm like, I only have 5 minutes. So I just say a quick prayer, and then all of a sudden my phone goes off, and that ruined everything. And so then I stand up, and I put my backpack on, and I walk out the door. And the rest of the day, I feel irritated and frustrated, and I feel anxious. I feel overwhelmed. I feel hurried. I feel busy. And what I'm learning is that a lot of us feel that. I sit down and I talk with college leaders, I talk with high school students, junior high students, moms, young adults, and we're all feeling the same thing. We feel anxiousness in our chest because we have so many things that we feel like we have to do, right? And so as we sit down to be with the Lord, we start thinking about that girl that we want to impress, that boy that won't get out of our head, that AP test that we have to take, the ACT class that we need to go to after school, the math homework that we don't understand, and our mind is filled with noise. Noise and distractions, and we feel beat up, and we feel tired, and we feel lonely and disengaged, and we don't know why. You guys have grades and AP classes and social pressures and practices and more practices and more practices and practice and activities and clubs and ACT and ACT prep and colleges and papers and scholarships and serving, and the list goes on and on. And somewhere in the midst of all of that, you have to hang out with friends and figure out how to have a social life, right? I feel that pressure. I feel it. And so I think if we were to step into our brains and actually ask ourselves like what our mind looks like on any given day, we would want it to look a lot like a clean West Elm bedroom. Crisp, clean, sheets made, washed. You could sit on that bed and read a book and take some deep breaths and just zone out from the world, right? But if we actually looked at what's going on inside of our brains, it looks a lot like this. Cluttered mess. And as I was typing this into Google to find images, I was feeling anxious. And so if this is what our brains look like, then of course that's why we feel anxious, because it feels scattered. Everything is just tossed and thrown in directions and we don't know where to start and we feel overwhelmed, distracted. Dallas Willard, an American philosopher, said it this way. He said, "Hurry, it is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day." There is this epidemic going on where God's people feel disconnected and farther away from him than they've ever felt in their entire lives. And what Dallas Willard is saying right here is that the culprit of this disconnect that we feel from the Lord, this anxiety that we feel in our chest, is because we are constantly hurried. We feel this busy life. There's another saying that goes, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Because I think that both of these people have hit it right on the nail on the head. Because what busy and hurried do in our lives is the same thing that sin does. It disconnects us from God, it disconnects us from people, and it only creates an anxiousness in our heart. And if our goal in life is to be connected to the Father, to abide with him, to walk with him, to know him intimately, and to have a personal relationship with him, then of course the enemy's number one tactic is to create noise in our life. He wants to fill our minds with all of these things that aren't necessarily bad, but they're things that as we sit down to be with Jesus, they're the things that fill our minds. They're the things that we think about. They're the things, the choices that we make and what we prioritize in our lives. This is what dictates it. Psychologists are actually using this term nowadays called entertainment anxiety, which means that there is actually an anxiety that comes with the amount of entertainment that is put in front of your guys' faces. I don't know if you feel this, but if anyone asks me, like, hey, have you seen Cheer? Hey, have you seen High School Musical, the series? I immediately start getting anxious because I'm like, when am I going to find time to watch this? Another show, another series. I'm so behind on The Bachelor. I need to catch up. Like, all of these things. I haven't heard this album or that album or this podcast or that podcast. I feel like there's just an abundance of media and entertainment that wants to flood our mind, that is causing us to spin into a spiritual oblivion, basically. And so my question today for us as followers of Jesus is to ask ourselves, what is this distraction and this busy doing to our souls? What is it doing to our souls? John Orberg wrote a quote. It said, "We are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It's not that us sitting in this room are going to say, yeah, I don't really believe in God anymore and all that stuff. No, not that we would renounce it, but it's that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. That all of us would get to the end of our lives and realize that we didn't actually live a life with God like he called us to, because of the distractions and the moments that we wanted to sit down and be with him, that we felt pulled away from an actual connection to him. And it says that we will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. And so I don't know if any of you in this room feel the same weight that I do, but it's very easy for me to walk through life and feel numb and anxious and overwhelmed. I know this because I actually asked some students to give me a list of things that they do on a normal day. And in that, I wanted them to give me an idea of what they're thinking about as their days are going on. And this is a normal day. And I kind of combined some of the things that they were saying and put them into one long list. And so I want you to listen and let me know if any of this resonates with you throughout your day. Thursday night, I can't sleep, big test tomorrow. I'm overwhelmed, I can't sleep, I'm thinking about the big game. College, where am I supposed to go? Ugh, I need to turn my brain off, I need to go to sleep, but I can't. I look at my phone for a little bit, I'm so tired, but finally I go to sleep. I set my alarm for the morning, but I wake up, I snooze it 5 times, I'm feeling not put together today. I have to rush to school, I can't be late, I'm eating breakfast in my car. Darn it. I forgot to turn in that assignment, anxiously run to turn it in. Feeling anxious that I'm falling behind in class, I'm finishing another assignment in class for another class because I can't fall behind. And then I have to go to practice, and then I have extra practice after that, and then I have to go to ACT tutoring. I'm feeling anxiety and pressure to do great and well because I know I want to make my parents proud. I finish all the assignments I need to finish, and then I rush home. I eat dinner really quick, and then I have 2 hours of homework. Ugh, it's never ending. I check my phone. I try to unwind from the day, but I can't. I start thinking about scholarships. I have to apply to college. I need to figure out where I'm going, so I start feeling stressed. I'm thinking about the rude comment that someone made at me in the hall as I'm trying to decompress and breathe before I go to bed. I need to fall asleep. It's already midnight. Ugh, repeat. That is noise in our day. These are the thoughts that run through our day as we go through. And these are the thoughts that are disconnecting us from the presence of God. This is the noise that the enemy is trying to put in our minds to pull us away, right? These are the things that make us anxious and troubled. And so in clarity, and in 2020, our heart is that we want you guys to see Jesus more clearly. And I am more convinced than ever, this is what God has been teaching me for the last year. I am more convinced than ever that the answer to our anxiousness and our worrisome and our troubledness that we feel is not going to be a fix in any of the noisy things that try and get your attention, but it's gonna be when we fix our eyes on the presence of Jesus and we actually walk with him. And so how do you and I, as a people and followers of Jesus, break through the deafening sound of noise in our world and see Jesus more clearly? How do we do it? And so we're gonna be in a familiar passage this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Luke 10, 38 through 42. This is a passage that you've probably heard if you've grown up in the church at all. And we're gonna see Jesus give us a commandment. And it's a simple, simple truth. But I think that if we actually got it right, that it would radically change the way that you and I lived. And he's going to show us that disciples of Jesus must be with him before they do things for him. Disciples of Jesus must be with Jesus before they do things for Jesus. So in Luke 10, verse 38, it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary." So these are two common sisters that are very known in the Bible, Mary and Martha. You probably remember them when their brother Lazarus dies, and they run to find Jesus, and Jesus actually raises him from the dead. And so these are iconic sisters in the Bible, very well known, okay? Think Pippa, Kate Middleton. Think Mary-Kate, Ashley Olsen. Think Venus and Serena, okay? Like power women, and they together are welcoming Jesus into their home. And so as we read this passage, we see that Jesus is on a journey and he's going through the town of Bethany. And Martha, the older sister, welcomes Jesus into her home, okay? And we're going to see, as Jesus is welcomed into Martha's home, Mary and Martha are going to take two different positions as Jesus enters the house. And the positions that they take are going to emphasize the priority that they have in the presence of God. And so let's continue reading. It says, "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving." And so we see Jesus enter, and I want to set this up for you. They walk into the house, and Jesus goes into the living room, okay? And he goes into the living room, and he takes a seat in the recliner. And Mary immediately follows him, and she goes and she sits at his feet. And she looks up at him, and as he begins to talk, she starts to listen. And she just sits in Jesus' presence. That listen right there is an active verb, which means that she chose to do that. So there was a choice in this, that in all of the things that she had to do on her to-do list, she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Now Martha, on the other hand, says that she was distracted with much serving. That distracted in the Greek is paraspao, which means to be dragged away or pulled away from the presence of. And so what's happening here is that Martha's serving, these things that are expected of her to prepare the house, she is in the kitchen, she is the one with all of the chips and dips and platters and plates, like think your mom during the holidays or your grandma during the holidays, like she hair up in a bun, apron on, and she is in the kitchen and she is making this elaborate meal for Jesus. She wants to make it perfect, okay? And so it says that she is distracted by all of the serving that she has to do. And that her distraction in that serving is pulling her away, dragging her away. Think of something being dragged from the presence of God. And so when we look at us in those moments, it's easy for us just to be like, man, I'm just so distracted. Oh, yeah, I'm sitting down with the Lord, but like, I'm just distracted. Like, my phone went off and all this stuff. And what Luke is saying is he's bringing a severity to that. And he's saying, hey, when you say that you're distracted, it's not just a flippant thing that you're distracted. You're actually being pulled away, dragged away from the presence of God. And so Martha's in the kitchen and she's working and she's cooking and she's trying to prepare these things that she feels like are expected of her. Okay? Back in the day, it was the woman's responsibility to make sure that the home was prepared and that they were good hosts and had everything that their guests needed. And so Martha felt that expectation pressed on her. And she wanted to do well in it. And so I don't know, I'm taking a shot in the dark here, but I feel like majority of us feel an expectation that's been set on us. Maybe you've set it on yourself. Maybe your parents have set it on you. Maybe your teachers have. I don't know. Maybe it's your coaches, but you feel an expectation to perform or to do a long list of things. And it's making you feel distracted or discouraged, like you have to live up to it, right? And we're going to see that Martha's response to that is a frustration. She starts to get frustrated. She feels this expectation. She feels like she's doing what she needs to do. And she's in the kitchen and she's whipping up all the things and making the turkey and trying to prepare the table and get everything ready. And as she's cooking, she looks into the living room and she sees her sister and she's doing nothing. She's not helping. And Martha's sweating and she's doing what she needs to do. And she looks over and she starts to get frustrated. I don't know about you, but like sometimes my brother will not help during holiday things. And I'm like, Mom, can Dalton come and help, please? And I start to get frustrated. And so Martha's response is the same. And as we continue to read, Martha's frustration leads her to take off her apron, step over into the living room and look Jesus in the eye. And she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come help me. And so right now, Martha's trying to get Jesus on her side, which I've tried to do often as well, but to say, hello, like, that's not fair. I'm doing all of this stuff over here and I'm serving and she's doing nothing. Can you tell her to come help me? And what she wants is for Jesus to be like, you're right, Mary, go help your sister. But that's not his response. Jesus responds to Martha and he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And what Jesus is trying to show here is this correlation between Martha being distracted and pulled away from all of the things that she has to do is creating a troubled and anxious spirit inside of her. And as Jesus looks at Martha in the eye, he sees that in her. He sees that she's anxious. He sees that she's troubled. And his response is not, go and do more. His response is an invitation to have a conversation and to remind her what's really important. He's like, hey, serving is so great, but your priority's off in this. I love the way that the Passion Translation says it. It says that Jesus' response is, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these many distractions. Are they really that important? Are they really that important? And then I wanted to be cool like Amy last week, so I translated in the Gen Z version, and it says, hey, Martha, just chill. Mary knows what's vibing, and it's going to stay that way. So I don't know, whatever that means. But what Jesus is trying to show us here is the difference in the position and the priority that Martha and Mary took. Martha was working and Mary was worshiping. Martha was distracted and Mary was devoted. Martha, not chill. Mary, vibing. So the two disciples of Jesus, both doing things that God has called us to do, and Jesus is calling out the order and the priority that they have set. And so he reminds Martha in all of that. He doesn't say, hey, you're not doing the right thing. No, he doesn't say that at all. he calls out this anxiousness and troublesomeness in her, and he calls her back to himself, and he says, you're troubled and anxious about all of these things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Mary has chosen the good portion that will not be taken from her. And so this isn't, again, a Mary and Martha battle, right? Jesus is not trying to say like, hey, those of you who love to serve and do all this stuff, you're doing it wrong. And hey, those of you who are sitting and being with Jesus or spending time in prayer, you're doing it wrong. That's not what he's saying. It's not a Mary versus Martha. What he's saying is that their priorities are shifted. And that if we are going to be disciples of Jesus, that we must learn what it looks like to be with him before we go and do things for him. God has wrecked me with this simple truth this year. He said, Tori, you have been doing so many great things for me, but you have no idea what it looks like to be with me. You've been doing all of these great things. I love that you lead in these ways. I love that you talk about me to people. I love that. But every single time that we sit down to meet together, you're not really there. You're distracted. You're pulled away. You're being dragged away by all of these things that take up your mind. Jesus wants us to prioritize his presence. He wants us to prioritize his presence. He wants us to worship him before we work for him. He wants us to show devotion to him before we do deeds for him. He wants us to be with him before we do things for him. And we've got to get this right. We've got to. Because I don't want what John Ortberg said to be true. I don't want you and I don't want me to skim our lives by completely numb and distracted and miss out on the relationship of what it looks like to abide and walk with our Savior. And so I wonder if we were to sit down right here, if you were to sit in this seat and Jesus was gonna sit across from you, or if he was standing up here, if he would say the exact same thing that he said to Martha, to our generation. Do you think he would say, Tori, Tori, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Caroline, you are anxious and worried about so many things, but one thing is necessary. I wonder if he would say that to us. You see, Jesus knows the things that draw our attention. He knows the capacity that we feel like we have to reach in our days. He knows our schedules. He knows all of these things. He's not oblivious to them. But he's calling us into a relationship with him. He's calling us that to be reminded and prioritize his presence before any of this stuff. Because what we focus our attention on is who we become. And so I don't want any of us to get to the end of our lives and realize that all of our attention and focus came on things that are not the one necessary thing. Because what Jesus said to Mary was this one thing that Jesus said to Martha was the one thing that Mary is choosing to do will not be taken away from her. King David said it in the way of, I have set the Lord continually before me, and in his presence is fullness of joy. The Psalms say, I will wait upon the Lord, for he is my strength. That those who realize that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and in the presence of the Lord is where anxiety ceases and where they find strength in the midst of the chaos, are people who do great things for the Lord because they realize who they are. And they're able to know when lies come and when distractions come, it's easy for them to distinguish them. And so Jesus says to us, he says, hey, I know that there are many, many things that take up your schedule. I know it. There are many things. But because you're a finite human with a very little capacity, there are few things that you get to choose with your day. And so Mary, she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. There are a few things that we get to choose, but we get to choose them. And Jesus is saying, I don't care what you choose. Like, go to cell group. Go and lead in 56. Lead in 54. Or in 34. Lead in K2 town. Play on the basketball team. Play on the football team. Take the ACT. Do well in it. Margin out some of your schedule and study hard. Be a good steward of what I have given you. But in all of that, remember that there is one thing that is necessary. There is one thing that is important, and it is sitting at my feet, and it is being with me. And when you do that, it will not be taken from you. And so as Jesus' disciples, here is what we have to learn. I have to learn as his disciple that when I sit down to be with Jesus, I have to be willing to fight distractions. I don't care who needs to contact me while I'm meeting with Jesus. And if I am going to be a faithful follower of Jesus and do anything great for his kingdom, I have to be willing to sit in his presence and be completely not distracted, completely engaged in his presence. And so if this thing is pulling you and dragging you away from the presence of God and leaving you anxious and troubled, then I am begging you to set it in a different room, in a different drawer, when you sit and you meet with Jesus. And as his disciples, we have to learn how to be presently aware of his presence. His presence never leaves us. And sometimes I think we like to go throughout our day and pretend like it does, right? That when I close my Bible and when I pick up my coffee and I pick up my backpack and I walk away, that God's presence left me and that I am left to fend the day by myself. And that's not true. God's presence, I want you to hear me when I say this, God's presence is not dependent on me and it's not dependent on you. But what is dependent on you and what is dependent on me is our awareness of his presence. Because his presence never leaves. But our awareness of his presence because of distractions is sometimes fleeting. The other day, I was in the living room and Abby came home. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's up? And she sat on the couch. And I was like kicked back, so disengaged. And I was on my phone and I was texting people back and I was on Instagram. And for 45 minutes, I forgot that she was in the room. Like truly forgot that she was in the room. But did my awareness of Abby being in the room change the reality that she was still in the room? No, it didn't. She was still there. But my awareness kept me from noticing that. And so we do that with the Lord. The Lord is sitting with us and he wants to commune with us and he's sitting at the edge of his seat waiting for us to open our Bible so that he can teach us about himself so that when we go out into our day and we experience hardship and frustration and when our parents are fighting or when something happens that we don't like or we get a score that we don't like or we have to make a big decision that we're worried about, the Lord's like, hey, I'm with you. That when you pick this up, I'm going with you. I am going before you. I am for you and I'm fighting for you. Do not be anxious and troubled about many things. Sit here and listen to my word. This is what is important. And so we must be present and we must sit with him. Sometimes it means sitting at a table with him. Sometimes it means going on a walk. I don't know if anyone likes to do that, but sometimes I leave my phone at home and I just go on a walk. But I want to be so aware of God's presence that I get to enjoy the life that he's given me. And so this morning, as I'm driving to here, church, to teach about this, I found myself getting anxious because it's a little intimidating standing up in front of you guys. And I started to feel my chest tighten. And all of a sudden I looked up and I saw the sun coming through the clouds. And it is like the most beautiful picture I've ever seen. And all of a sudden I was reminded of God's presence and that he's with me and he's for me. And I took a deep breath and I just sat in it and I drove all the way here. But if we are gonna choose to continually be overwhelmed and choose the noise that so easily fills our mind, we will miss out on the beautiful, abiding relationship that we get to have with Christ. He put his spirit inside of us, and his presence never leaves us. And he wants to teach us and grow us, and he doesn't want us to be anxious. And it's only in his presence that we find peace. And so I have a challenge for you guys this week. I want you to find a place of solitude. I want you to find a place of silence and solitude. 1 hour this week, I'm going to beg you to sit in the presence of the Lord, to do something in your week that stirs your affections for him and reminds you that you are a human created in the image of God, and that you have a purpose and a plan for your life, and that your ACT score, the college you're gonna go to, what you're gonna do next, does not matter. Because what matters is a relationship with Jesus, knowing that he has you in whatever capacity, in whatever plan or future he's written it, and you just need to be with him before you go and do all of the things for him. And I want you in that moment to sit, and I want you to remind yourself of his presence, and I want you to listen. I just want you to listen. God wants to talk to you. He's sitting there and he's waiting to remind you of who he is. And until we sit like Mary did at Jesus's feet, we cannot serve like Martha was doing. And I want us to be world-changing followers of Jesus. But in order for us to do that, we have to be with him. And so before we start working, I want us to worship. And before we go out of here and do things for him and be everything that we feel like we need to be to people, I want us to be right here with Jesus. And so we're gonna sing some songs, and this is a sacred time and place that we get to be in the presence of God and we get to worship him, and that nothing else that we could do matters. Let's pray. Lord, I repent and apologize, Father, for letting so many distractions pull me away from your presence. God, I'm sorry that I fixate my attention and my life on everything else that does not matter. God, they're good things that you gave us, but what the most important thing is that I am reminded of your presence. And so help us as your people to prioritize your presence above all else, Father. We need it. God, we feel anxious and troubled in many things. And so pull us out of the chaos, out of the noise that fills this world, and into your presence. God, I pray that every single person in this room would feel your presence. God, that you are here. And may you speak so kindly to them, and may they hear you. In Jesus' name I pray.